today, I'll have my January trip report. That's coming up on this episode 202 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 202. Today is the daily reports of my trip report in January, and there was lots of things happening during this trip report. There was Animal Kingdom after hours, Hollywood Studios after hours, the Rivers of Alert dessert party. What did I just say? Rivers of Light dessert party. And I revisited the early morning magic at Magic Kingdom because it recently changed. We stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, made lots of visits to Port Orleans French Quarter. So there's lots of things to listen to, and not all of it went well. So I hope that you will be able to learn a few things from the experience. Before we get to that, I just want to remind you to follow on social media. Just today alone have interacted for 3 hours with people on social media, and that is the danger and the amazing thing about social media is it gives us that connection. Namely, I am most active on Instagram and the Facebook page, so just look up WW Prep School and follow along there. Let's dive into my daily updates from my January trip now. It is 5:08 a.m. at Dallas Love Field Airport, and the updates are starting early on this trip. I don't think I've ever done this before, so I thought I would do it just to kind of share my routine quickly. I make this trip so often that I've got a routine at the airport before taking off, which first of all starts with being very early. You don't want to be late and start off your trip in a hurry and trying to get through security and all that kind of stuff. So it's better to be too early. And then once I get through security, what I do is go and pick up a bottle of water because you can't take water through security, and then get a snack and some napkins and take it with you in a plastic bag. And then once you're on board, the plastic bag becomes your trash can at your seat. And I have the napkins in case, you know, runny nose or something like that. And I just keep it there. And then at the end of the flight, I give the flight attendant my whole bag with trash in it, so I don't have to have little bits here and there. You want to make sure that you have water and something to eat, because it can be several hours between the time that you go through security to the time that you have access to food at the other end, especially if you have little ones. So make sure you do that. And I am taking off here around 6 a.m. and staying at Port Orleans Riverside in a royal room. And Heather is meeting me there, so I will record updates throughout the day and let you know how this check-in day goes. And then tonight we have Animal Kingdom after hours, so we are starting off with early morning at the airport and late night in the park. So plenty to talk about. I'll be back later to update you. Hello from Orlando International Airport. I am at Starbucks waiting for my coffee to be made. I just wanted to talk a little bit about how things work here in case you've never flown in. So everybody that comes into this airport comes in at buildings that contain the gates. And these are like the satellite locations. And then you have to take a tram over to the main building where you pick up your luggage and you catch your transportation and all that. And a lot of people want to use the restroom as soon as they get off the plane. And they rush to the first restroom right by the gate. But it often fills up because when a plane unloads, you know, the line can build very quickly. So there's just know that there's two restrooms between the gate and the tram usually. And so if one of the restrooms that you stop by has a line, there is going to be one more that is closer to the food court, and that should be convenient for you. And then once you take the tram over, then you can navigate to where the luggage is. You will have to go down a level, and there are elevators, stairs, escalators, and then you find your baggage claim. And then from there, you have to figure out how you're going to leave. I take Uber and Lyft, and all you have to do when you take Uber and Lyft is to walk right out the doors by baggage claim, and then you use the app to call. There may be specific gates that they want you to stand by for that pickup, but it's very, very easy to do, and
and before you know it, you'll be at Disney World. So I'm off to do that. I am walking down to find my luggage, and we'll be headed to Port Orleans Riverside here in just a few minutes. And I am recording this from my room at Port Orleans Riverside. As I've mentioned, I'm in a royal room, and I have seen these rooms before but never stayed in them. And I really think they might be the best themed rooms at Disney World. Art of Animation rooms are up there too, but these are just so nice. Like, they are really, really thoroughly themed, but not like super silly. It just feels really refined. You can push a button on the headboards and the animations light up. There are princess pictures all over the place. It's just pretty. It's just a really lovely room. The downside is that these themed rooms, like here in a Caribbean beach resort, are not close to the main building. That's why they did the theming, is to appeal, make the rooms that are further away more appealing to people. So it isn't the closest to the main building, but it is lovely, and so far so good. When I got to the room, I called for bell services because I had a Prime Now order delivered. I also have an owner's locker, which is not something that most people have, but it's a storage locker that I keep in Orlando with all of my Disney World related stuff, so I don't have to pack it and take it back and forth. And so they deliver those and the Prime Now order. And so I got kind of settled in with that, and I'm going to go get some lunch, and I'm just kind of resting because tonight is the Animal Kingdom After Hours, which lasts pretty late, and so I want to make sure that I'm rested and ready for that. But for now, so far so good. I did post pictures and a video tour of the room on Instagram if you would like to go check that out and see for yourself. It's 8:05 p.m. at Animal Kingdom, and we have been here for about an hour and a half. We are here for Disney After Hours, which officially allows us to enter at 7, but doesn't begin until 8:30. So we, when we got in, first of all, went and bought a coat. It's cold, and the thick sweater I was wearing was not cutting it, so I went and got a sweater in one of the gift shops. Then we got our bands. They used to give out lanyards for these After Hours events, which we loved because they were super cute and they made good souvenirs. Now they just give out bands, but they'll do that in the park, at the front of the park if you enter at 7, but we were a little bit early, so we got the bands in the park at the distribution place across from, it's a Tough to Be a Bug. And then we went and had dinner at Nomad Lounge. Nomad Lounge is attached to Tiffin's, but what they serve there is small plates. So we both had sliders and fries, and then they have really, really good drinks too. I had a very strong rum drink, so no telling what you're gonna hear tonight. But the first thing after we did after that was we headed to Dinosaur, because that ride terrifies me, and I thought I should do that with a fresh dose of rum. So I survived, and now we're in Dino Land. That music that you hear, I don't know why they're playing it right now in Dino Land, but this is part of the dance party. So we are headed to Expedition Everest. There's a few things that are open for the after hours, especially most people are going to be here for the things in Pandora, but we're going to wait till later until the lines die down, and we're going to do things on the other side of the park until then. And so I'll let you know how it goes. I really like Magic Kingdom After Hours, and so I'm really curious to see how this one goes. It is 9:37. If you hear sounds in the background, that's because we are about to enter Pandora. Since we got here, we have done some of the attractions that are open, but we were saving Pandora till the end. So we did Dinosaur and Triceratops Spin, Expedition Everest twice, It's Tough to Be a Bug, and a private showing of Rivers of Light, which is, happens during the Animal Kingdom After Hours party. I have a lot of opinions about this party, but I will save the opinions till the end. I just wanted to keep you updated on what we're doing. So now we are headed to Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey, and I will let you know afterwards how it goes. It is 11 p.m. and we are leaving Animal Kingdom. The Animal Kingdom After Hours event technically ends at 11:30, but we're out of things to do, so we're ready to go back. And I have a lot of thoughts about this event. Before I forget, can I just say that Animal Kingdom still has its Christmas decorations up? And I don't just mean like the tree and garland are up. I mean the lights are on and there's Christmas music playing. And it's very disorienting. Most of us are totally over the holidays, and I don't understand. They usually have this stuff over with like the first week of January, but it's still up. We're taking pictures for the website to put into posts and things, and we can't take a lot of them because we don't want them to be Christmas photos. We want them to just be regular ones. So anyway, really weird. Okay, so let's talk about the event. So a little background, so you know my mindset going into this. One is I love Magic Kingdom After Hours. It's my favorite ticketed event, and I think it's totally worth it because you basically get the park to yourself. Second mindset going into it was that Disney gave free tickets to a lot of people in December to attend this event, and I followed along on Instagram and Twitter, and everyone seemed to really, really love it. And so I thought, okay, well, it's probably going to be fun. Well, I guess free tickets might make it more fun, but my tickets that were paid for by me, I would not pay for them again. And here is why. So Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom is practically the whole park to yourself, whereas Animal Kingdom is six attractions. And if you, let's break down what those attractions are. Sorry, the music's getting a little bit loud. Okay, so the two attractions are Dinosaur and Triceratops Spin. Those are pretty easy to ride without a line. In fact, we did it a little bit before the party even began. We just walked on. So those are easy. Another attraction is Expedition Everest, which is really fun to ride over and over again without a line, and I did ride it a couple times. Do you hear that Christmas music? So weird. But Expedition Everest does have a single rider line, so, you know, there are ways to avoid that if you want. Then It's Tough to Be a Bug is number four. That is a super easy show to see anytime without a line. Then the last two attractions are the main draw, and that is Navi River Journey and Flight of Passage. However, the queue for Flight of Passage is so long because there's two pre-shows that it's like a 20 or 25 minute experience no matter what. So it's not like you can do it over and over again like you can the other after hours. So if you went to Magic Kingdom After Hours and you wanted to do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you could easily over and over and over again because you just walk through the queue, get on the ride over and over again. That's the appeal. But Flight of Passage, which I admit it's nice to not have a line, but you can't do it as much as you would if you were in the other parks. So that was a bummer. Okay, so the rides to me are not worth it. There's no animal attractions open. So the whole Africa section is closed. A lot of stuff is just not available. So it feels like, okay, now what do we do? Snacks are a part of the after hours event. So that includes things like bottled beverages, popcorn, and ice cream treats. And they were available, but they were hard to find. So that was a little difficult. And one of my favorite parts of Magic Kingdom After Hours is the ability to take PhotoPass pictures without hardly anybody in them. There were no PhotoPass photographers out tonight. So the Tree of Life without anybody in it, that looks so pretty and colorful, nothing. Pandora, which was empty, nothing. And that is such a bummer. So to me, it is not worth it. It's $125, I think, per ticket. We get discounts because of annual pass holders, but still, $95 a ticket. That's a lot of money for six rides, most of which are not worth attending during the party. So anyway, I need some kind of rating system, but I would say this event is not approved. I don't understand why anybody would spend that much money on it. We are going to be attending Hollywood Studios After Hours, so we'll see if that one works out better. I'll let you know. We have a mix of things to do the rest of this week. I can't remember the schedule off the top of my head, but I'll be back tomorrow to let you know what we do. It is 2:33 on a Thursday, and we are walking away from Riverside to go catch the bus to Animal Kingdom because we have Rivers of Light dining package tonight, and we're going to do a couple things before that, but we are headed to Animal Kingdom. But we spent the first part of the day, first of all, sleeping in because it was a late night last night, and second of all, we walked over to French Quarter. The temperatures today are like 70 degrees, sunny. And the walk over to French Quarter is like 10 minutes from Riverside, especially because we're kind of on the end of Riverside that's on the side of French Quarter. So we just followed the path along the water. We went and had lunch over there, including Mickey-shaped beignets, which were delicious. And As always, I suggest sharing portions of food, especially the food courts, because they can be huge. So we split a pasta as well and just walked around French Quarter and took pictures. I posted pictures on Instagram and Facebook if you would like to go there and check them out. But it's a gorgeous day. It worked out really well for us. So we are headed out to Animal Kingdom again, and then we will let you know how that goes. It is 7:18. We got to Animal Kingdom this afternoon around 3 o'clock, and our goal was to attend the Rivers of Light dessert party because it's something that's been available for a little while now and we hadn't done it, so it was on our agenda. And before that, we decided to go see Finding Nemo the musical, and it's beautiful as always, especially if you're a musical theater lover like I am. It's such a good show. That music you hear is the Tree of Life Awakenings at the Tree of Life. So that should give you an indication of where I am standing. I wanted to tell you about the Rivers of Light dessert party. And once again, I went in thinking this is going to be great. I've only heard great things. And I don't know if the people that I was following and reading this about were people that attended for free again. But once again, it must taste better when it's free. So let me just say the good parts about this particular dessert party. First of all, the cast members were incredible. Like, when you walk in, they have somebody that escorts you and shows you where everything is one-on-one. It felt very sort of VIP to have that kind of attention. The person who was in charge was incredibly helpful and gave us like extra access for photos and told us we could stay for the second show. And it was just really, really great cast members. Secondly, the area where it is held is beautiful. And unlike other areas and the other dessert parties are more just like sort of concrete spaces, but this is really a beautiful area for the dessert party. Third of all, the desserts they offer are tasty but limited. So, and the drinks, same with the drinks are tasty but limited. Okay, so that's all the good stuff, but let me talk about the things that make me not like it. First of all, there are no chairs. The other dessert parties now all have chairs, and the fact that you can walk around all day and then go to a dessert party and not have a place to sit down is super frustrating for everybody. But if you have kids especially, you know, what are they going to do? They are shorter than the bar height tables, and everybody just wants a place to sit down after they've been walking all day. So that's the first thing. Secondly, all the other dessert parties have a lot of savory options. And especially when your check-in time is during dinner, it's nice to have savory things that you can eat for like a light dinner and then also have a nice spread of desserts. They did not have that. Their savory options consisted of some cheese cubes and some fruit. But the other dessert parties all have like entire sections just for savory and entire sections just for dessert. So that was disappointing. We purposely did not eat dinner because the other dessert parties are basically like a dinner replacement, but this was not. So I'm interrupting this clip. I'm editing all the audio together, and I realized the clip that I recorded at Animal Kingdom about the dessert party was cut off. So I wanted to insert the rest of it here so that you have a complete thought. So as I was saying on the last clip, there was no seats, there was almost no savory, there was a few good desserts, and no chairs. So those were the downsides. Also, the seating for the show is good, but it's not too hard to get seating for Rivers of Light anymore. And also, the Rivers of Light show is just not a huge, huge draw. So overall, I think compared to the other dessert parties, it's not worth it. So if you're trying to find one, I feel like the other ones offer more in terms of like a better view or more food options or whatever. But if you are a person who's already done those dessert parties and you're looking for something different, this one definitely has a unique experience that you may appreciate. So that kind of wraps up my Rivers of Light dessert party thoughts. At the beginning of the day, I accidentally called it dining package, which is a whole other thing, but this was about the Rivers of Light dessert party. And then after this clip, you will hear the final clip that I recorded of the day when we got back to the resort. It is 9:40 and we are almost back to our room at Riverside. This is the last update for today. After we left Animal Kingdom, we took the bus over to Disney Springs and ate at Chicken Guy, which is a popular quick service that's located right by the bus stop, so we didn't have far to walk to eat our dinner. Chicken was good. The sides weren't as good. But it was a nice, quick place to eat. And then we took the boat. We walked over to the boat, which is on the end, the marketplace end of Disney Springs, and took the boat back. It's one of the perks of staying at Riverside in French Quarter, is the option to take a boat. So we are back, and I'm going to edit this podcast, and we are going to have cookies and milk, as adults do. We do that every night during our trips now. And then we are going to plan on going to Magic Kingdom tomorrow. So the next update you hear will be from there. And I will let you know all about it, because there's lots of new things starting for Mickey's 90th birthday. Hello from Magic Kingdom. It is 1:41 p.m. on Friday, and we are at Magic Kingdom today because it is the beginning of a lot of the Mickey and Minnie celebration things, which includes a dance party. We walked in during the second of three dance parties that are taking place, so just super fun. It starts at the front of the park, it goes to the hub in front of the castle, and stops where they play music and dance, and then they go back to the front of the park. So if you want to participate in the dance party, I would suggest being at the hub to do that. But anywhere along Main Street, you will see the floats that are part of the dance party come by. That's, you just check the app for all of the specific times for your dates. The other thing that we are here to do is to meet Mickey and Minnie. It isn't super common to be able to meet them together, and now they are meeting together at Town Square Theater. Used to just be Mickey Mouse. Now it's Mickey and Minnie. There is a Fast Pass available, which will make it easier if it's a priority for you. They are dressed in their celebration outfits, which I have seen pictures of, and it's super cute, so I can't wait for us to go meet them. After that, we will be heading out and going to Epcot because Festival of the Arts began today. So I'll be back to tell you all about that. The last update that I mentioned, that we were going to meet Mickey and Minnie in Town Square, which is exactly what we did. We went and met them at Town Square Theater, where they do have a Fast Pass, and with our Fast Pass, we only waited about 5 minutes. The people in the standby line had a posted wait time of about 70 minutes, so I would highly recommend, if you're into characters and want to meet Mickey and Minnie, to go ahead and grab a Fast Pass. And if you're into characters, I would highly recommend meeting them, because not only are they together, but they're in their cute celebration outfits, and they were super cute. So we headed out and got on the monorail to the Ticket and Transportation Center, and then we caught the monorail back from there over to Epcot to do Festival of the Arts stuff. So I'll have those updates for you next. It is 3:48. I'm inside the Odyssey Center, which is in Future World, and it's kind of a hub for Festival of the Arts because it has a lot of things in it. I wanted to just sort of record random updates. They may not make a whole lot of sense because we are spending a couple days at Epcot trying to gather as much information as we can about Festival of the Arts. In the end, we'll have something that makes sense in the form of an article about Festival of the Arts. But when I'm recording these audio clips, it's just sort of like the raw information as we figure it out. So let's start with, when you enter Epcot, one of the things you'll notice that's related to Festival of the Arts is lots of photo ops. At the front of the park, it's really pretty with like a rainbow setting in front of Spaceship Earth. And then you'll be lots of places throughout Epcot that you can stop and take pictures. And then, as I mentioned, I'm in Odyssey Center, which has a lot of things going on, including Animation Academy. And that's a class where you can learn how to draw. The earlier the class, the easier the animation. So if you're a beginner, the earlier might be better for you. If you know a little bit more about drawing, you might want to do one of the later classes. It doesn't start, at least today, until 3:30. So it's not something you can do in the morning, but it is something that starts in the afternoon. It was full a good, like, half an hour before the scheduled start time. So if you're interested in it, then it's something you would definitely want to be at the Odyssey Center playing early to get a seat for. There are also lots of merchandise in the Odyssey Center building. There is a like gift shop that has the festival merchandise, but there's also a screen printing station where you can get shirts screen printed based on your preferences. So you get to pick the design, you get to pick the color of the shirt, the size, and then within a few minutes they will have it available. So we did one of each. We did one of the official shirts and one of the screen printed shirts. There is also some things to eat in this building and things like that. So we will be leaving this building to go do more things, and I will give you an update as we go. Okay, it is 4:50 and we have just entered the World Showcase. We did a couple of things that might be of interest that I wanted to let you know about before I forget the details. The first one was that we watched scarves being made. It's on the plaza that separates the World Showcase and Future World. It's called the Showcase Plaza. And you can create your own colors and designs on your own scarf. And it's really pretty. We watched it for about 10 minutes. And I posted the pricing to Instagram if that's something that would interest you. The other thing that we did was there is a mural at Festival of the Arts. And what you do is you just get in line and they hand you a paintbrush and paint, and they tell you what color and what number. It's paint by number, and everybody colors in a couple of squares, and at the end it will be a huge mural, and they hand you a postcard to show you what it will look like. There's a PhotoPass photographer right there too to take a picture of you at the mural if you'd like, but it's really fun and it's a free thing to do at Festival of the Arts. So now we are headed around the World Showcase to look for things to eat and drink and photo ops, and I'll let you know what new information we find. It is 6:07 p.m. We are in line for the Broadway show. There are three per night, and there used to be only performances on the weekends, and now it's seven nights a week during Festival of the Arts, which is super nice. But we are in the standby line for the second show because there are three per night, and we went ahead and lined up 45 minutes in advance. I assume that will be good for us and that we will be able to get in, but I will let you know otherwise. Before this, we went around to various countries in the World Showcase and got food and drinks and took pictures. There are five photo spots in the World Showcase for Festival of the Arts. They look like giant picture frames that you get in and then you can take your picture. There are PhotoPass photographers at most. We had to take our own picture at one, but they're super cute photo ops that you should look for if you are here during Festival of the Arts. So I'll be back later after the Broadway show to let you know how it goes. If you can hear that music, you may recognize it as the ending of Illuminations. It is 9:15 p.m. We are walking out the International Gateway over to Beach Club to catch a lift back to our resort. This will be my last update for today, unless something really good happens. But I wanted to let you know that we were in line about 45 minutes before the Broadway show started. And when we got in, we kind of had our pick of seats. It was very easy. So if you are picky about your seats, and if you are, I highly recommend being in the center on the end of one of the benches, then that's a good time to line up, at least as of right now. Otherwise, it seems like there is a pretty easy time getting into the show. We will be back with the dining package to see if that gives us any value in a couple of days. After that, we just continued walking around the World Showcase, getting food and drinks, all of which were delicious. We particularly enjoyed the rosé fight in Germany. And they have an Angry Orchard rosé that is there, which is amazing. And then I left a bag underneath the table in the Africa section. We went back and the cast members had it. If you lose something, you always go back and look, obviously. But if you don't have it, you can file a lost and found claim, which I have had to do more than once. And they will look for it and mail it to you if they can't find it. So that is that. We are headed back to our resort. Tomorrow is a Hollywood Studios day, including Hollywood Studios after hours. So I can't wait to let you know how that goes. Maybe it'll be better than Animal Kingdom after hours. We don't know. We'll see. It is 1:14 on Saturday, and we are at Hollywood Studios. We got here about a little over an hour ago. We went to Backlot Express and had lunch. Used mobile order, of course. They have a new chicken and biscuit meal. That was really good. The chicken is fried and has a little bit of a kick to it, and the biscuits are really good. We intended to go to Brown Derby Lounge, which is the outdoor portion of Brown Derby where I go a lot, but they had a really long waiting list to get in there, which is unusual, but I think they were short on servers today. So we headed over to Backlot Express, and just wanted to remind you all, if you do quick service and you have more than one adult in your group, to make sure one person goes and finds a table and one person orders. Definitely split up, because we witnessed lots of people struggling to find tables, especially at those bigger dining locations. So, for instance, in our case, Heather found a table while I went up and picked our mobile order up. So it is a much more efficient way to do it, a lot less stressful. And if you have little ones, the little ones don't have to wait in line to get the food if they don't want to. We walked over to the Jedi training sign-up area just to confirm that the spots have indeed not been filling up. And it is 1:41 right now, and there are still plenty of spots open for three different shows today. The cast member indicated that they sometimes might be full by noon, but oftentimes they don't fill up at all. So that is still
the case, and that means that you should definitely, if you're here at Rub Drop, go to Toy Story Land first and then head over to Jedi Training. Definitely don't make it a top priority, because there's other things that are more important. So anyway, that is the current situation on Jedi Training. We are headed back to the Pixar Place area because there are new Pixar things that just opened this week, and we are going to check those out, as well as the new Disney Junior dance party. It is 3:54, and we just left Hollywood Studios on the way to the bus stop so that we can have dinner at Artist Point at Wilderness Lodge, the new storybook dining. And then after that, we'll be back to Hollywood Studios for after hours, but I wanted to fill you in on what happened since the last time I recorded an update. First of all, we headed to the new section of Hollywood Studios called An Incredible Celebration. If you have been to Disney World before, you know where the old Toy Story Mania entrance was. They have turned that section into An Incredible Celebration, which basically includes a new meet and greet with Edna Mode, which is super cute. The whole queue and the area where you meet her is really, really well done. And we only waited about 20 minutes, and that was in the middle of the afternoon. And then there's a couple of good places to take pictures. The side of the building where you used to enter Toy Story Mania is now a backdrop where you can take pictures with props. And there's a photobass photographer there. I understand there's also a scavenger hunt that she can do in that area. We did not do it this afternoon, but we will check into it when we come back. After that, we headed to the new Disney Junior dance party, which is very, very cute. It used to be Disney Junior Live on stage, and now it's the dance party where you can see characters like Vampirina and Mickey Mouse and Doc McStuffins. I may have missed one, but they're very cute. It's definitely very dancey. They invite the kids to get up and dance, and each character appears one by one on stage, and it's super fun. There's bubbles and confetti and snow, and the kids seem to really like it, especially favorite characters, obviously. When Vampirina appeared on stage, the whole audience gasped because they were so excited to see her. So anyway, super cute. We got a fast pass for it just to make sure that we got in. If it's important to you, I would suggest a fast pass for it as well, but you can probably do standby and get in if not. So that is it for Hollywood Studios for now. We will be at Artist Point here in just a little bit and cannot wait to try out Storybook Dining. It is 5:58. We are leaving Artist Point. We were here for about an hour, and I wanted to tell you about the experience at Storybook Dining because it is new, just started recently. And so previously, Artist Point did not have the character meal. It was a signature restaurant, which means expensive, and two table service credits. And it had dishes from the Pacific Northwest, which in theory I would love, but I did not enjoy the restaurant previously. Because the restaurant itself was boring. It just felt like I was sitting in a box and just a real nondescript room. And then the food wasn't anything impressive. It was the only signature restaurant that I did not enjoy. So it was just something I never thought about. So then when the Storybook Dining was announced, which is Snow White, Evil Queen, and Two of the Dwarfs, I thought, well, gotta go try that. I am very happy to report it's a very good experience. I know it's been getting good reviews from other people, but as you have heard from other updates I've had during this trip, other people like it. It doesn't necessarily mean that I will. But it was really, really, really great. They, first of all, updated the look of the restaurant. So it is much more charming than it used to be. It doesn't feel like you're sitting in a box. It is lovely. Secondly, the service is fantastic. I feel like the cast members are really going all out to try to make sure everyone has a good experience. And then thirdly, the food is delicious. It is a fixed price meal, and everyone gets the three appetizers that are listed. You get like small versions of each one. You only have to pick your entree. There are about a half dozen entree choices, and then everyone gets little versions of the desserts as well. There are a few alcoholic drinks that you can order. We got the apple, I can't remember the name of that, got the apple martini, and it was delicious. And highly recommend that one if you want to order an extra drink. But, oh, the character interactions, that's the last thing. So Snow White and Two of the Dwarfs come to your table and take pictures, and then you can meet the Evil Queen. She stands up and has her own, like, backdrop and meet and greet area. They recommend that you go and meet her when you're done with your dessert. However, the line for her does build, and she's not out 100% of the time. So my suggestion is to hop in line whenever it's convenient, but not necessarily when you're done with your meal.
the server, I asked some questions about, you know, people's experiences so far, and our server said that they've been getting really good reviews. The only negative thing they've heard is that sometimes people feel rushed because they try to make it a 60-minute experience. I actually thought that it was a perfect amount of time, and it worked. I didn't feel rushed at all, and it was just fine with me. I also asked about it being 2 table service credits because I'm very curious if it's going to go to 2. And he said, yeah, it might eventually, but right now it's just 1. So given that it is just 1 right now, I would declare it the best value for a table service credit. We have a list of dining plan credits on the site where we rank them by dollar amount. So at the top of the list is things like different Fantasmic dining packages and Festival Fantasy dining package and that kind of stuff. So dollar amount wise, but the restaurants associated with those dining packages are not ones that I love. But this one is the first one on the list that is a good value and I think good food. So if you're on the dining plan and Wilderness Lodge is convenient to you in some way, I would highly recommend checking into Storybook Dining at Artist Point. So that is that. And now we are headed back to Hollywood Studios for After Hours and we'll see how it goes. It is 8:22 p.m. and we got back to Hollywood Studios around 6:30 or so for After Hours, as I mentioned, and I wanted to share some early After Hours thoughts. I'm currently seated in front of one of the projection towers waiting to see the Star Wars fireworks. We were able to kind of sneak in here at the last minute and there was plenty of spots available. This is where we believe the best view is, especially if you were, well, it doesn't matter. We think this is the best view no matter what, and it's usually pretty easy to get in here. But I wanted to share some early thoughts. First of all, if you're already in the park and you plan to attend After Hours, you can pick up your credentials, your wristband, in the parks. And I suggest doing it earlier in the afternoon because it gets pretty backed up closer to the party time. And you can do that at a ticket stand inside the park. If you are not inside the park before the party begins, you'll have to wait out in front by the turnstile and just get your wristband as you enter. Second thought is that for After Hours, we always recommend that you do things between 7 and 8:30, or between the time that you can enter and the time that the event begins. We recommend you do things that are not available during the party, and that will vary by park. But here, we figured out that that includes Fantasmic, Star Wars fireworks, Frozen Sing-Along, and Voyage of the Little Mermaid show. So those are 4 things that you can do. And we'll be writing all this stuff up, by the way, if you don't want to memorize what I'm saying. But there's a few things you can do between the time that you enter that are not going to be open later on. During the actual party, there are a lot of rides and character meets open, but the shows are not available. But the shows close earlier in the evening, so they're closed even before you can enter the park. They're also closed during the After Hours event. So I recommend doing the 2 nighttime shows and Frozen Sing-Along and Voyage of the Little Mermaid show if you want to squeeze those in before the party begins. So our plan is to watch the Star Wars fireworks and then head over to the Tower of Terror Rock and Roller Coaster area to start on those and then eventually make our way to Toy Story Land. Even during After Hours, the most popular attractions are going to be better later in the night because at the start of After Hours, you still have some people that are left over from the normal park hours. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but basically during After Hours, you're going to leave the most popular things until the end just due to line. So we are going to try that and see how it goes, and I'll be back to let you know how it goes for us. It is 10 p.m. during Hollywood Studios After Hours, and it is so much fun. We, right after we saw the Star Wars fireworks, we went on Tower of Terror, walked right on, went on Rocket Roller Coaster, and not only walked right on, but they let us skip the pre-show so that we could go on. We could have just ridden it over and over again if we wanted to. Then we walked over to Star Tours. Of course, we walked right onto that. Then we met Mickey and Minnie. We could meet Star Wars characters, but we've done that a bunch of times, so we're just going to skip that and head to Toy Story Land. We've also picked up drinks and snacks along the way and had no problem doing that. And this is how an After Hours is supposed to work. It's fun, it's easy, we're getting lots of rides in, and this, I think, is gonna feel like worth your money, but I'll come back later and let you know once we're finished. It's 11:28 p.m. and we are finishing up a very, very, very fun night. I am posting a screenshot on Instagram of everything that we did tonight, but it was a lot. We did all the attractions, some of them multiple times. We met characters. We could have met even more characters. We easily found drinks and snacks. And the cast members were incredible. So incredible. I'm about to tweet a cast compliment to one of them. But it was really, really good night. This is how you do an after hours. Also, there were photo pass photographers out. So you will remember, Animal Kingdom did not have any photo pass photographers out, but there were a couple here tonight, which is all that we needed. And it was also a really great opportunity to take pictures because there's hardly anybody in the park. So it was a good time to stop and get photos of signs and attractions and things that we wouldn't easily be able to do on a normal day. So big thumbs up, and really, really, really had a fun night. It also helps that was really nice weather. Animal Kingdom the other night was really, really cold to me, but today it was incredible. Tomorrow we are doing a festival of the arts again at Epcot, and we're just going to go back and revisit some things and fill in the blanks of things we didn't do the last time. So I'll keep you posted about that tomorrow. It is 1:15 from the UK section of Epcot. We just finished a lunch at Rose and Crown. We actually booked it as a dining package for Festival of the Arts. And we thought because it was lunch, we would actually get tickets to the first performance tonight, which is at 5:45. But we actually had tickets for the last one, which wasn't going to work out well for our schedule. So we asked our server if we could get tickets to a different show. She said, as long as there are slots available, you can. So she went and checked, and we did. So now we have the 5:45 show. We're not sure if they will be needed, but we wanted to test it out and see. Now we are off to go on some rides and enjoy some of the other Festival of the Arts attractions. I'll be back later. Hello again from Epcot. It is 2:59, and today's one of those weird days, and tomorrow, where we're doing a lot of work things that aren't super valuable to you. They're just things we have to do for work, like take lots of pictures for articles and for social media. But I just wanted to share a couple of random tidbits. One is that I am stopping at pretty much every photo pass photographer to take pictures, because when I get home, I have to have stuff to post on social media. And if you ask for magic shots, they will take extra time with you to do a special photo. So I just wanted to remind you to ask for those, because they don't always offer. And one photographer in the middle of Epcot today spent a good like 5 minutes with different poses and different magic shots. And I can't wait to see those in my account. So just remember that if you're interested in pictures. The other thing is that we went to the Wreck-It Ralph character meet, which is Ralph and Vanellope. Ralph is listed in the app, Vanellope isn't, and Ralph is only available in the times in the app, but Vanellope pretty much meets all day. So I just wanted to let you know that, because if a lot of people went into the Wreck-It Ralph meeting area and they met Vanellope and they walked away not knowing that Ralph was an option. So if you want to meet them both together, make sure you go when Wreck-It Ralph is listed in the app, and Vanellope will be there with him. So that's what we just did. And now we are headed off to take more pictures, ride more rides, and do random things. I'll be back later. Okay, it is 6:06, and we are leaving Epcot right now. I have a few things to update you on, but I'm going to do it in separate memos because it's so cold. The temperatures this trip have varied between mid-30s and upper 70s. So if you're traveling between November to early March, I would check the forecast before you leave to see what to pack, because we have needed everything from gloves to flip-flops, and it can make your luggage pretty bulky. Okay, so first thing I want to talk about, other than the weather, is the animation. We went to the animation classes in the Odyssey building. If you have been a visitor in the past, you know that Hollywood Studios used to offer that, and that went away because they changed that building into Star Wars Launch Bay. But during Festival of the Arts, they have brought it back to Epcot, so you can take drawing classes. It takes place 3:30, I think, until about 8:30. The schedule will be in your times guide when you get here. But it's offered about every 30 minutes. Sometimes it's every hour because they take breaks. And I would suggest lining up 30 minutes in advance to do it, because it's popular. And there is an animator on the stage, and they kind of briskly walk you through the steps to drawing a character. The character will vary, and it's supposed to get harder as the day goes on. So we did that. That was super fun, and loved that. Then we went over to use our vouchers for
the dining package because we ate today at Rose and Crown. They gave us vouchers for the 5:30 show. And we were running a little last minute and actually got there around 5:25. And they had a few rows reserved in the front. So if you get the dining package, you will have a reserve section at the front. And we slipped in and had good seats for the show. So that was good. I was trying to formulate some thoughts about the Festival of the Arts performers. This is the first year they're offering them 7 days a week, which kind of changes the dynamics, because what they're doing is they're taking, it's a man and a woman that perform, and they perform for 2 days in a row. Then other performers do 2 days in a row, and then the other ones come back. Like, basically, two sets of two take turns every couple days performing. And what's great about that for you, for me, is that you can see multiple performers in one trip. So we saw a different set on Friday versus today. I also want to talk about the popularity of it, because kind of like the Candlelight Processional, the person or people in this case that is scheduled, I think, can really determine the size of the crowd. I would look at the guest list and see if the performers are in favorite musicals of yours, and prioritize those because they will most likely sing songs from those musicals. In this case, because the two performers today were from Newsies, there was a large Newsies fan contingent in the audience, and we were really happy to have gotten the dining package vouchers because the theater was full even for the first show. But a couple nights ago when we were standby, we had no problem finding a good seat. Having lined up, I think, about 45 minutes in advance. So I don't know what my advice is. I guess if it's a high priority person that you really want to see, I would get a dining package. Otherwise, you could do standby and get in line maybe 30 to 45 minutes in advance. So anyway, really good performers, and it was a lot of fun to see them. And now we are headed back to the resort for a dining reservation at Boatwrights. As you all know, I recommend eating wherever you're going to be, and we are really tired and wanted to head back, so we have a dining reservation at our resort, which makes it really convenient, and then we can finally go to bed early. And if there's anything important, I will update you again today. If not, this will be it, and I'll be back tomorrow. One more update for today. As I last left off, we were leaving the beach club to take a lift to Riverside for dinner, and a couple things happened. So first of all, our Lyft driver was incredible. And as you all know, if you've been listening for a few months, I have recently converted from Uber to Lyft because Uber offers often very difficult service, whereas Lyft is almost always great. And our driver gave us some insight. She said that since Disney chose Lyft to be their minivan provider, because if you want to book a minivan, you have to use the Lyft app. She said the Lyft app is more accurate for Lyft drivers than it is for Uber drivers or any drivers, because the new paths get updated in their navigation system. So as an example, Hollywood Studios changed their entrance recently, and I know firsthand that the Uber driver I took had no idea how to get there, and a lot of guests didn't know how to get there, but the Lyft app let them know. So Lyft drivers are often much more accurate than other drivers because they have the newest and latest and greatest. Another thing that she mentioned was that there are a lot more guests using Lyft than before because they download it to use minivans, and sometimes they use it for non-minivans. And that means that a lot of people, hopefully more drivers, are showing up to service those customers. So Lyft is a better option. The other thing I wanted to let you know is that I mentioned that we had a dining reservation at Boatwrights. Our dining reservation actually wasn't for a little while, about 90 minutes between the time we arrived to our reservation time, and because we were just running a little earlier than expected. But usually when you show up and say, I have a reservation for later, they will often say, that's okay, we'll get you right in. But Boatwrights happened to be very busy, and they said, no, you'll have to come back closer to your time. And I decided that we decided that we were hungry and would rather just go to the food court. So we did that instead, and I modified the dining reservation in the app for the next day and then canceled it. And if you've never heard that tip before, that's because if you cancel within 24 hours, you will be charged a penalty of $10 per person. So if you modify it for more than 24 hours out and then cancel it, you will avoid the penalty. So that's what I did. And we went down to the food court and we got some sandwiches and some cupcakes and some wine and sat down. If you get wine from the food court at the resorts, they have little plastic wine glasses that they will give you.
And so it ended up being a lovely dinner with lots of chit chat, and we walked back to our room shivering all the way because it is cold. And so tomorrow we will have some computer work to do, so I won't have a lot of updates, but I will use tomorrow as an opportunity to talk to you about the resort and let you know how it's been so far. So I'll be back then. Hello from French Quarter Resort. The story of how I got here is an unexpected one. I had no plans on being here, but I'm here, and I'll let you know how I ended up here in just a second. So this is my one and only voice memo for the day. As I mentioned last night, we had a in-the-room day today, and that included getting a little more rest and doing a little bit of work, and we had lunch with a reader who is entering the Disney College program starting tomorrow. So hello to Carrie. Good luck on your DCP journey. And her mom, who was lovely, and we ate with them or talked to them in the food court of the Riverside. And then this evening we headed over to Boma at Animal Kingdom Lodge for dinner, which is a fantastic resort. I am getting ready to do a ranking of all the deluxe resorts, so I've been thinking a lot about the deluxe resorts and how they kind of fall in my mind. Animal Kingdom Lodge has definitely got a lot of perks, and one of those includes being a gorgeous, I think the most gorgeous of all the deluxe resorts, or all the resorts period, and fantastic food. So we went to Boma, which I think is probably the best buffet. It's not a character buffet. Most of the buffets are characters, but this one's not. It just has such a great variety of food, especially if you have a more adventurous palate. We did notice that there were not a lot of children there. I assume other places probably appeal more to families with younger kids. Mine have always liked more interesting food, so it's a good choice. It's the only buffet I think my son would return to. So good choice, especially if you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. You know, I always talk about eating in places that are convenient to where you're going to be, so that's certainly a good choice if you are going to be at Animal Kingdom Lodge. They have really good food, so that was really lovely. And then we got in a lift to go back to the resort tonight, and the lift driver accidentally took us to French Quarter, and we just got out. Like, okay, this is where we are. At first, I thought we were at Riverside, and I entered the boat. I got out, and I was like, oh, wait, we're at French Quarter. So then we did what any sensible person would do, and we stopped in the food court and got Mickey beignets. They are so good. A snack credit. I don't know if I mentioned this the other day when we were at French Quarter, but the order of 3 Mickey beignets is a snack credit, and if you happen to be here, that is a great value of a snack credit, and they are so, so delicious. One of the best snacks I've ever had at Disney World, so we decided to have that before we make the walk along the cold, cold river back to our room. So that is what we'll be doing here in just a minute. I did mention that I was going to talk a little bit about the resort today, because I usually try to do one resort discussion during my trips. This one's a little bit difficult because I've stayed at Riverside so many times, so I'm not sure what to cover. It is my favorite of all of the moderate resorts. The biggest drawback is the transportation. Sometimes people have an issue with the timing of the buses or the buses being too full. You can always use French Quarter. Like if you're at the parks and you're trying to come back, if the Riverside buses are not coming or they're too full, you can always do French Quarter and walk over. The convenience of that largely depends on where your room is located at Riverside. We happen to be on the end of Riverside that is closest to French Quarter. So for us, like for instance, tonight we accidentally ended up at French Quarter from our Lyft driver. It's not a bad walk back, but you do have that option if you happen to run into issues with the buses. We do use Lyft a lot, so that's always an option too. Tomorrow morning we will be using a minivan to get from here to Magic Kingdom. So, you know, you have some options. I really think if you have a car, this is a great place to stay. I really hate that there's a daily parking fee now, but the fact that you can drive right up to your building is very convenient. The Royal Rooms, as I probably have already mentioned, are so gorgeous. I think one of the best themed in all of Disney World. It's comparable to me to the ones at the Disneyland Hotel at Disneyland, which are my favorite rooms I've ever stayed at. They're just really charming and well done and just a delight to stay in. Just, I would recommend that if you do book a royal room, that you request to be near transportation, because that will make them more convenient. The Alligator Bayou section is the more rustic section of Riverside, and that is where all the preferred rooms are, and that is also where you will stay if you have a family of 5, because they accommodate more people than the mansion section, which is where the royal rooms are. The food court is really great, but can be really crowded. So that is an issue, but that's an issue anytime there's a food court. We ate at some like kind of off-peak times and didn't really have too much of an issue.
But overall, I still really like Riverside. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous resort. And if you have any questions about it, feel free to DM me on Instagram or email me, Shannon, at www.prepschool.com. We will be glad to get back with you. But anyway, if it's something that you are considering, I highly recommend it. I can totally get behind that decision. So that's it for now. Tomorrow we have early morning magic at Magic Kingdom. This is an event I have done before, but they have since added more attractions to it. So we're going to redo it to see how it is with more attractions. And then we are flying home tomorrow evening. So I did ask for a later checkout today because we were really hoping we could come back from early morning magic and get back to our hotel to finish packing and then head to the airport. And I have never been granted a late checkout, but I was today. And I was hoping for a 1 hour delay, and they said they gave us 2 hours, so we get to check out at 1 p.m. instead of 11 a.m., which is really, really convenient for us. And then we'll head to the airport from there. So I'll be back tomorrow with an update on how things go. Hello, it is 10:13 a.m. from the Magic Kingdom. We are actually headed out. I want to tell you all about early morning magic, but first, my immediate view is of people coming in the park in droves, and so many of them are grabbing maps and gathering around and trying to figure out what to do. So please, please, please don't let that be you. If you want to ride rides without waits, please don't arrive at 10 a.m. either, because the queues have already built up by now. And you know, grabbing a map as soon as you walk in to figure out what you want to do. That's frustrating because you could have done that research ahead of time. But anyway, that is slightly off topic because this morning was early morning magic. And if you don't know what it is a special ticketed event that starts at 7:45 a.m. when the park opens at 9 and basically lets you get into most of Fantasyland before the park opens, and it includes breakfast. And I've done it before, but it has changed in the last several months because it used to just be three rides, a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Peter Pan's Flight, and Winnie the Pooh, I believe it was. And so the main focus when it was that was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. People would get on it and they would just go on it over and over and over and over again. And that was the main focus. But now, because there are more rides open, it's more like you're in Fantasyland early and get to do several rides. But that whole idea of riding Seven Dwarfs Mine Train over and over and over again, like I described, isn't quite the same. When we first rode Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, it was about a 15-minute wait, actually. But as the hour wore on, the wait went down for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, so we were able to get off and get right back on. So that one is still much shorter than during the day, but the idea of riding it like 12 times in an hour is probably not going to happen anymore. But there are more rides open, so you can kind of knock out most of Fantasyland. We did two Princess Meets, we rode Winnie the Pooh, we did Seven Dwarfs Mine Train a couple of times. The Peter Pan's Flight would normally be part of it, but it's down for refurbishment, and I'm sure that being closed affected the lines at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. The previous version of Early Morning Magic had breakfast at Pinocchio Village House, and it was a buffet with a lot of different breakfast options. The breakfast now is at Cosmic Rays, which is actually in Tomorrowland, right on the border between Fantasyland and Tomorrowland. So it's convenient to get there. It's just that it's technically in Tomorrowland. And it's more of a standard breakfast. Like the hot food that they give you is scrambled eggs and potatoes and bacon and pancakes and sausage. And then there's also a toppings bar, and there is like continental items, fruits and oatmeal and things like that. So it's more of a standard kind of breakfast, hot breakfast you could get anywhere with continental offerings, whereas the previous one was a little bit more interesting. And I think the breakfast at Hollywood Studios Early Morning Magic is more interesting as well. So what else is there to I wanted to just remind you, if you haven't heard before, what we suggest doing for Early Morning Magic, and that is to ride the rides that have the long lines. Obviously that includes Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And then right when park opens at 9 a.m., go do something else that's not part of Early Morning Magic, like run over to Space Mountain or something like that, and then go have breakfast, because breakfast is open till 10. So you do Early Morning Magic, do something when the park opens that is hard to get into, and then go have breakfast. And then you can stay there until 10 a.m., and then you can go to the rest of the park. So I definitely think if you have only one day at Magic Kingdom, that Early Morning Magic is a great way to get a start on it, because you can pretty much knock out Fantasyland and even do a bit of space, like Tomorrowland, including like Space Mountain right when the park opens. So that would be great, and you can save your fast passes for the other part of the park. I also did want to mention that this morning our plan was to call for a minivan, because minivans can drop you off right at the front of Magic Kingdom where the buses are. But when we tried to get a minivan, none of them picked up. So we ended up calling a regular Lyft to take us, and then we walked over from the drop-off spot. So that's just a heads up. We do not need car seats, but if minivan is something that you want to do because you need car seats, then that you can't just call a regular Lyft. Something to think about. They don't have enough minivans for the number of people that are interested, particularly early in the morning. I think that's it for now. We are headed back to the room. I did get the late checkout, and if there's anything to update you on, I will do that later. It is 1:49 p.m. from Orlando International Airport. I had a request to talk about stuff at the airport on the way out, just like I did on the way in. So I thought I'd just give you a little play-by-play. As I mentioned before, we got late checkout at 1 o'clock. So we stayed in our room. We got back from early morning magic, and we only slept for a few hours last night. So we actually laid down for a little while we still had a bed available, and then left our room at 1 o'clock. Normally, I do resort airline check-in, where you can check your bags at your Disney hotel, just like at the airport. But instead of having to traipse them to the airport, you can check them right at your hotel and then just go to the airport however you want to. However, because of the timing of early morning magic and our checkout time and all that kind of stuff, we thought, well, we're going to leave to go to the airport at 1 o'clock, which is hours before our flights, like many hours, and we'll just take our own bags with us this time. And that's what we did. So we got to the airport and we went to check them in, and for Southwest Airlines, it's a maximum of 4 hours in advance, which worked okay for me, but for Heather, her flight was a little bit later, so she is going to have to wait a little while to check it. But I also want to talk about, as we sit in the main terminal, not all airports have amenities outside of security, but the Orlando airport does, and it comes in really handy if you are meeting up with people that have flown on other airlines, because as I talked to you before when I came in, you fly in and you land in terminals that are satellites. And that means that if you have somebody on a different airline that you're meeting up with, they will be in a different terminal. So you can meet up at the center terminal, and there's a whole food court here. There's lots of shops. There's a lot to do. So everything in the main building is outside of security. So that means you can do it before or after you go through security, and you can meet up with people. And that's what we've done before here at the Orlando airport. So we're going to have lunch here and wait for Heather's check-in time for her luggage, and then we will head out to our gate. It is 3:30 now, and I'm at the satellite portion near the gate at the airport. And one thing I wanted to mention, I don't actually know if this is common or if it's just something that I do, but when you get through security, there are two trams to go out to the satellite terminals, and I have more than once either almost taken the wrong tram or taken the wrong tram, because I have TSA PreCheck, which is all the way on the end of the security area, but the tram that I need to take is on the opposite end. But as soon as you get out of security, it's very tempting to just want to get right on the tram that is closest to where you finish with the security. So you need to check the signs that show your gate numbers, and that way you'll get there. If you take the wrong tram, you'll have to take the tram back to the main terminal and go back through security, which at Orlando Airport can be a huge pain because the lines are long, and especially right now because TSA is not being paid, so people are calling in sick, so things get a little bit more crowded than usual. So anyway, just when you go through security in Orlando, make sure you're taking the right tram to your gate. And I'm back home after an uneventful flight and making my way back home. I have had a day to recover, and trying to get this podcast up for you so you have the whole thing all edited together. Overall, as you heard, it was a pretty good trip, and loved the resorts. Had a couple of unexpectedly disappointing events, but I guess, you know, that keeps it interesting. You know, if I liked everything, it would be harder to believe it. But that's why we go. We go to test things out so we can pass on the information to you. The next trip will be March 5th. We will be back for Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot, among other things that are starting soon. And I will bring a trip report to you as usual then. So I think that'll wrap up for this trip. I'll be back with a regular podcast next week.